Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the NLA Courtroom Observers Conference Call for August 9th, 2017. If anybody has any observations that they want to report, please go ahead.
Let's see here. Do you have anything, Michael? I don't see Gummy on right now. I don't have much this evening, but as I always do, I need to remind everybody how important courtroom observers are. One person is all it takes to get charges dismissed and all it takes to have that happen is you be there, look sharp, look like you belong with your badge. At the top it says courtroom observer, has your picture in the middle, and at the bottom it says National Liberty Alliance. Have your clipboard, something to write with. Make a show of taking notes. You want to take those notes so that you can make an affidavit for the defendants there. It was brought up last week that you make the affidavit right there in the courtroom, have it notarized by the clerk, keep a copy for yourself, and give the affidavit to the client, so if they're going to fight the case, they have an affidavit there to back them up. Now, if one person can make the big difference and get charges dismissed, think what 10, 15, 20 people could do. We need to work toward that end. We need to bring more people in. We need to be talking to people. We need to teach everyone how important it is and what one person can accomplish. We all need to be talking to our friends, to other members. Be enthusiastic about it, because we can all make a difference. Courtroom observer is much more important than what most of us realize. But having seen what one person can do personally, I know how important it is. I was one of those sitting in there by myself, and the prosecutor told the judge, I think it's in the best interest of the state to dismiss all these charges. And it was because a courtroom observer was sitting in the courtroom taking notes. I know I keep repeating myself, but I think it's well worth repeating. And I hope that other people will have things to add. I hope we all realize by now that on the website, National Liberty website under Courtroom Observers, there is information posted that we all need to know about. We all need to be reading up on the Constitution. We need to be taking the civics course, Constitution course. The more you know, the more effective you are as a courtroom observer. Let me see.
Oh, boy.
Do you have anything you'd like to add, Jen?
I just got unmuted. No, I really don't. At this time, anyway.
Yeah, Gunny from Oregon is not here. He normally has something to add. Michael normally has something to add, but I'm not hearing him say anything. And it may be that we have a short call tonight.
This is California Fred. Can I ask a quick question?
Go for it.
Under the committees where the court observers are,
yes.
I don't see a place to submit your affidavits and such.
Mister.
Well,
Mister.
The affidavit you make up in a courtroom should be given to the defendant, the person you're there for. It's for their benefit.
Well, it doesn't point out instructions to that effect that I can see right off the bat. And they've got a courtroom observer protocol. Would it be under that?
Can you answer that, Jan?
See, it's got join the courtroom observer group. It's got courtroom observer forum, courtroom observers committee, courtroom observer protocol, request for a courtroom observers, and then call to action. It's a lot of figures pointing in different directions.
There's no real need for you to submit an affidavit to anyone other than the defendant that you're there to back up. They are the ones that need the affidavit, and they are the ones that will submit the affidavit to the NLA if it's needed, if they're fighting the case through the NLA.
Yes, I had always. Oh, go ahead, Robert.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say.
I had always just assumed. Yeah. Go ahead, say it.
You're breaking up.
Go ahead and finish your comment, Robert.
Okay, well, I was just going to say that if the client, I mean, if the defendant in the case is going to fight the case, you're providing him with an affidavit. But more than one affidavit, you know, is always good. And so you've provided one, and he's going to write one. So, yeah, there's no real need to hand one into the NLA.
Yeah, I had always just assumed that people understood that when they go to court to help someone who is a defendant in the case, and they go in and they write down the proceedings, the things that are in error, they go to the effort of writing up an affidavit and getting it notarized and so on, that they would know that that is for the defendant. NLA, the only service we're providing is to send a courtroom observer to help the defendant out. And I guess I had never considered that NLA might want a copy of that.
Well, I don't think
maybe for.
I don't think there's a reason for it unless the case is going through the NLA, and even then it would be the defendant providing an affidavit to the NLA. But it's always a good idea to hang on to a copy of the affidavit that you do make up for the defendant in case another, you know, a copy is needed or for your own records or in case something comes up later. It's always good to hang on to a copy of it in your files. I think it's important that everybody has a file to keep a record of everything.
Mister?
Are there any more questions?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
This is Crystal. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, they've been just still going at me in every kind of way. What I've done, I got to get the papers over tomorrow because I'm doing the affidavits and everything, the court, and I filed for the bankruptcy Chapter 13 because they wanted to do auction off my house. For the 26th of this month, and I went to the court, which I filed, you know, last week, so I got to get all the paperwork in there, and that's over the time. So I get another letter tonight from the court talking about short sale, and I have to be in court on the 21st. So this judge is going bypassing all these, you know, he's just going along with his own rules, you know what I'm saying? So what I did go there Monday, and I made sure I sent a, you know, because you have to send the notice to all the people that are involved. So I sent a certified letter to the court, which they received it. But now he's sitting there like, I'm disregarding. I'm gonna, like he said to me before, this is my court. This is what I'm going to do. So what I did, I put it in his file. So I'm going to go back again tomorrow with the same letter, and I'm going to make sure it goes into his file, the judge's file, and my case, you know?
Yes.
And also I'm going to send, you know, I'm going to get it notarized, And I'm going to definitely, because it's hard getting people trying to get them when I have to go down there. You know, but I guess I said there's a few people around. And I also contacted one of the sheriffs. So I said, please listen to these calls. So he, you know, because he's clueless about, you know, and you got to like spoon feed them. You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
Because everybody's having the same problem. So I had gone to a meeting this past Monday about the legal foreclosures and all these other things that's been going on. And I said, how can you people up here stating that you're on the Common Council, Board of Education, state reps and all that, and yous are clueless, you know? I said, you're letting everybody lose their homes. Children are being abused. People are being falsely imprisoned, and you're sitting there saying there's a deficit. Where's the lotto money, you know? And I said, as much as we think that man who's the so-called president, I said, but you know what? He gave everybody a little food for thought. You know what I'm saying? And when they're all sitting there blaming each other, well, guess what? All this was going on with the Republicans, Democrats, Independents. You know what? It's not even for the people. It's for self. So people are starting to pay more and more attention. I've got four more people came up to me today and said, and I said, well, go on the National Liberty Alliance. Go on your computer, you know. I said, they have the conference calls and everything else. Get involved. Go sit in the courtrooms. I said, I've been telling you, you know what I'm saying? I cannot fix your problem. If we work together as a team and we sit there and try to educate and help each other, you know, even if that's our time, go to the courts. Start learning, you know. I said, you can lay right in your bed and start learning this stuff. So, hello?
Yes, well, good for you on that.
You know, but it's just like everybody's feeling. I mean, in our area alone, just in, I think it's almost like 35,000 people that are homeless, and all these vacant houses. You know, and another thing yesterday. Oh my God, did anybody see Dr. Phil?
No.
Please go back and watch. What was yesterday? Yesterday was Tuesday. See the Dr. Phil stuff, because you could go back on your TV. Oh, my God. And it was right up to what you were all talking about this young woman who was kidnapped from birth, and she was like slave, what do you call it, where this rich man got her as a baby and said he owned her. And the sexual abuse that this young girl, from an infant up till now, what she was going through, and she went to like the Super Bowls, presidents, and all that other stuff, and the ones who were doing the raping and molestation, and who owned her, she said it was the judges, the policemen, the Congress, the lawyers, the police officers. I mean, this is, and I guess this is a big problem going on, and I guess with the DCF and all this other stuff. How could people not know this stuff is happening? You know.
It's going on in every state.
Yes, it's horrible. But I never realized. I'm sorry?
I said, some people don't care. This is Ron in Cleveland, by the way.
Hi.
Hi there.
And everybody definitely needs. I took my grandkids today to see Kidnap, Halle Berry. Oh, my God. You know, everybody needs to see that and take their children. Because it's right on point. And I said, that's when I said, oh, my God. I would hear people on the call. But, you know, a lot of us never paid the depth of the situation. And when I saw Dr. Phil's show yesterday and seeing this today, I said, oh, my God, this is a huge problem.
Well,
you know?
It's bigger than anybody wants to even realize. I've been working on the problem for several years, and I see people, they don't want to see it. They turn their head when they see somebody being abducted so that they don't have to believe it happens. I've seen it over and over and over, and I have some lady friends who were taken by CPS at the age of 3.
Oh, God.
And given to traffickers.
Oh, my God. This is horrible.
I know them personally. I've been.
And it was funny because, I guess they said that judge, that Supreme Court judge, that one who passed away, he went on a hunting trip. And she said, the young lady mentioned, when you hear of these high officials talking about hunting trip, it's not they're hunting animals, they're hunting children.
Absolutely.
I said, oh, my God. Because at first when I used to hear about people, I thought they were making a joke about this, you know?
No.
And when I said, oh, my God, this is horrible, horrible.
It's happened.
And it's just like, who's in charge? Well, how can anybody make a complaint if it's a higher officials that are making the laws and breaking the laws?
Exactly.
Well, this is why it's important that we the people begin observing what's going on and not turning our heads. This is we want people to be courtroom observers, but by being courtroom observers, you're also going to be observing everything around you. And we're going to start saying things. We're going to write affidavits on what we see. We're going to start making a difference. And so being a courtroom observer is going to help with a lot of these different problems.
It was quite disturbing, you know.
I fought human trafficking over in Taiwan while I was still in the military.
Yeah.
And I fought it here. I'm known as the shadow man out on the streets because of the work I do on the streets out here. But I can't do it alone. There are a lot of police, judges, politicians that are involved.
That's what she was saying. And they said, well, how? And she contacted Dr. Phil, and I'm sure it's going to be booming because I just couldn't believe it. I had things I had to do, and I couldn't stop watching it. Like, I was in shock. I said, you know?
But, you know, it's horrendous, but if you learn to be a good courtroom observer and learn to write affidavits, you will start making a difference, not only in the courtroom for those people that are in courts, but in other areas of life itself. I mean, an affidavit turned into the sheriff is a lot more potent than just reporting. And the more people...
I see how important it really is. You know, and as I said, we can go into the courtrooms just to sit there and observe what's going on. And
even doing that, if you know the Constitution, if you know the civics, you know common law, and you just sit there and observing, whether you're there with anybody or not, and you write affidavits, and you give them to the right people, and with what we're doing at the NLA, if you're doing that, you're sitting there, and you're writing affidavits, they may be affidavits that the NLA will use
if you left.
Well, I did go sit in there for a few minutes, and I just jotted. I just started jotting some things down, and I noticed that he looked up at me or whatever the case is. But I had to leave because I had an appointment, you know. But I see what you were saying. It is very important that we go in there.
It is very important.
Yeah, and we all got to, even if we got to go in for 1 hour, just go. If 10 people can go in and just sit in different courtrooms, or 3 and 3, you know what I'm saying? Because one may pick up something where the another one. Even if it's just for 1 hour, we definitely got to get this. We got to get it structured and organized, because I understand the importance of it, you know.
Well, even if you're not there, if you're just there in a courtroom and you're observing how the court's being run, somebody is there as a defendant. You may not know who it is, and maybe you're not there for that person.
Right.
But what would it mean to them if you were to sit there and write an affidavit and walk up to them as they're walking out and say, I observed what was going on and I made an affidavit. Can you use this? I mean, would you like to have it?
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, you're helping your fellow man, woman. You're helping somebody. And it may be exactly what they need to win their case. And by doing that, you know, mention the NLA.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Yeah, I know you do. But that's something that everybody could be doing. And anybody that is wanting to be a courtroom observer, I recommend that they do sit in the courtroom on different cases and at least observe and learn and see all the wrong that is being done and write it down.
Yeah.
Take notes. I mean, if you're sitting there and you're making notes, you're making a show that you're taking notes of everything that's happening, and you're making them judges and prosecutors nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful.
Oh, is there a point? This is Jan in Kansas.
Yes.
Is there a point where we are going to, I'm saying this, you know, like gently, like, but is there a point where, at which we're all going to, in our respective states, like have a movement to challenge the courts? Because like Crystal was saying, the judge will just tell people, this is my court and I'll do what I want, you know, is basically it. And then I was listening to Mark Levin before I got on here, and he was throwing a fit about that the president just endorsed Mitch McConnell and Karl Rove's candidate in Alabama. I mean, so what's the president doing? He was going to drain the swamp, and then also, I mean, I know I don't want to get off on that, but it looks to me like we're not going to get much, if any, help from this president, actually. I mean, maybe it's a little premature to say that. But.
Well, we knew that from the beginning, but he doesn't even know what he's doing.
And then the other thing I'll just finish up is that it's really disturbing. I mean, Crystal's losing her house, and then these kids are getting snatched, but another from the court, or CPS or whatever it's called. But the other thing is this Jeff Sessions, he's rolled right over 24 states when they had said no more civil asset forfeiture, which is just an abomination. And he rolled right over the top all those states who'd done all that legislative work to pull their states out from under civil asset forfeiture, and he's reinstated it, calling it adoptive forfeiture, and all it is theft. Well, so, I mean, it's like, you know, we're not getting any help from even the people who campaign. And we've, but what I'm trying to say is I think we're going to have to wake up at some point and just start challenging by what authority are you doing this? You know what I'm saying? So I yield. Thank you for letting me speak.
If you follow what we're doing in NLA, then you know there's a movement by us to make changes. We know that Sessions is not who we want to have as an attorney general. Now, with the president, we don't have all the information that he has. We don't have everything that we need to make a decision on what he's doing. There might be very good reasons that will come out later. I don't know. Maybe he's just making a mistake. I don't know. But I find that with President Trump, normally there is a reason, a very good reason for everything he does. And with him being under attack constantly, we the people need our own movement. And
yeah.
We do have that. We have the courtroom observers making waves with writing affidavits. We have the committees of safety. The committees of safety can work wonders if we get the people in every county setting up a committee of safety. Then we start challenging our elected officials at the county level. And if we're challenging these officials at the county level and holding their feet to the fire, that's going to extend on to the state and on to the federal government. We the people, by doing this, by having the committees of safety, will make a difference. We will take our government back.
Well, I hope so.
The president said it in his inauguration that the transfer of power was not from Obama to him. It was from Obama to we the people. We need to accept that and use that power. And it's the power that we're supposed to have. Well, most people don't know how to use that power.
But that's for certain people he's referring to. He's not. Trump is not referring to all people, you know.
Yeah, he's
referring to
all people.
No, he's not. No.
Yes, he is.
But
to all people.
Yeah, okay.
We have to support a lot of things that, I mean, but if he's, I believe that he is doing for we the people. But none of us are going to like everything he does.
Well,
it's
not for all the people. But anyways, but so much for him. Well, another thing that came up yesterday.
It really doesn't matter what he does. We the people, if we form the committees of safety the way we need to do it, it matters not what the president or any other elected official does, because when
that's what I was trying to say. You're saying it better.
Right.
We will have the power. We have to unite, and that's the way to unite is through committees of safety.
Mm-hmm.
And we're helping that cause through courtroom observing.
And one other thing I forgot to mention. Because we heard this week for the retirees that they're going to be reducing our pension. So I'm like, I first heard it, I thought it was a rumor. Then I heard it at one of the meetings on Monday, and I said, wait a second. So I made calls to where we get our pension from, and I guess everybody's now jumping ship, even our governor. And
they're even trying to reduce the military retired checks.
Well, this is crazy what's going on. But so anyways, My case has still been open for 17 years. I said, I thought a case couldn't stay open for no more than 7, has to be resolved. And they're like,
yeah.
Oh, well, you got to get this, you got to get that. I said, you got all my documents. You got the date when I started. You got the date when I started longevity. You got May 3rd, 1970, and you know everything. I got my papers, you got your papers. And I said, so what's the problem? Oh, well, they want more proof.
Well,
and
you know,
so I've been going on. Wait a second. Let me finish this. So I was ripping and raving. So yesterday I called them. I said, did you know that this is happening pertaining to our union and all that? And that we might be losing my pitch. He goes, I didn't know nothing at all about it. He goes, let me put a call on. I said, I want my case. My case should have been settled. I said, they ripped me off of my pension. They settled cases without me not being there. I've got all this stuff going on. And I said, and they did this deliberately to destroy me, to take everything I own. I worked over 40 years, 45 years for them to sit there that I put in for my whole livelihood to come out with nothing. You know, I said, I'm not your slave or nobody else's. I said, but I'll tell you this. And so this is what I said. Let me finish. I said, he goes, he's going to put an email. He goes, I can't believe this. He goes, where'd you find that out? So I told him. And then he said, so I called him back at 4 o'clock yesterday. And this is what I said to him. I said, you know what? Since it took us 17 years for my case and it's still open, I want a common law grand jury of my peers. Let's get this case going immediately. He said, what? I said, I want a common law grand jury of my peers. He goes, well, what is that? I said, excuse me? You're my attorney all these years? I said, he goes, well, that's only for criminals. No, that's what you. I said, if I stumped my toe and broke my foot, I could put in for a common law grand jury. Anything over $20. He knew nothing at all about it because every case has been settled. So I think we better start educating the people more and more. Ask for a common law
grand
jury.
I think we need to start challenging these people.
Can you imagine? I said,
yes.
What the heck? I said, I put all my cases together. Who knows the case better than the client? Just like a doctor, if a doctor listens to a patient long enough, the patient will tell you exactly what's wrong with them if you were in tune to listen to them, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget when I was even in school for nursing. The patient will 90% almost tell you their diagnosis if you were only paying attention to what they were saying. You know?
We the
Crystal.
People have power, and we need to learn how to use it. We need
That's
to
right.
Do it. We need to do it locally. We all need to be doing it.
Well, I've learned that from you.
If doing it locally, it's going to affect nationally.
Right. And that's what
Crystal.
Everybody... Yes?
Do you know the difference between a grand jury and a trial jury?
No, I do not.
Well, that's where you made your mistake, okay? A grand jury is when somebody is going to be indicted. You can ask for a common law jury, but you can't ask for a common law grand jury unless somebody's being indicted.
Well, the grand jury is the 25 people that listen to the complaint and make a judgment of whether it should go forward or not. The pettit jury is the one in the courtroom that makes the decisions on whether guilty or innocent and what the punishment should be.
And that's the one you were talking about there, Crystal.
Okay, so wait a minute. I thought a common law grand jury is for criminals?
Yes.
No, it's for all cases. A grand jury under common law should be convened for every crime or complaint. You know, somebody that has a complaint has the right to go to a grand jury and file a complaint, and they convene to determine whether there is sufficient evidence to go forward or not. Every time the sheriff goes out to arrest somebody, he should have had a grand jury convened to determine whether there was enough evidence for him to go out and make that arrest. Unless, of course, it was murder and it was caught in the act. But, I mean, for...
You don't get a grand jury on civil matters.
But, well, the grand jury, the people's grand jury, the legal one...
Wait a minute.
We don't have that.
Okay.
We don't
so,
have,
for example...
We don't have a common law grand jury right now. We have a phony, illegal grand jury.
So if you got a malpractice lawsuit, you don't get a grand jury.
The grand jury just makes the decision whether the case goes forward or not. And if the department does, they send the information to the courts.
Wouldn't Crystal have to file, like, a criminal complaint, like sign something, an affidavit, an oath, an affirmation, and give it to the sheriff and ask him to press criminal charges against the judge or somebody like that, whoever's been stringing this along? And then wouldn't that be the process and then, you know, go that way?
Yes, because your rights were violated.
Yeah, right. Criminally, you know, to drag it on that long for not only even to mention that they're taking her home, which is paid for.
But you, with what you're going through, Crystal, you do have the right to file a complaint about all the wrongdoing going on by the judge, and you do have the right to file a complaint with the grand jury.
That's right.
So how do I go about doing that?
Well, that's the thing. We don't have a common law grand jury other than
what we're dealing with.
One that was formed here with the NLA. And so I think you're already working with John and Gerard,
right? Okay. Yeah, I'm going to, you know what,
You are a part of that already.
Right. So I got to get that over there. Okay. All righty.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but if somebody steps on your toe, you don't have the right to a common law grand jury. You can have a common law jury, but a common law grand jury is generally reserved for criminal indictments. Well,
right,
a common grand jury is reserved for criminal indictments.
So wait a minute. So I would say a common law jury.
That's right. That would be more
petty
correct.
Jury. Petty jury.
You don't have to add petty
have,
jury. Just ask for a grand jury.
You have
I mean,
right
just ask for a common law jury.
Okay.
You have a right to a jury trial for anything over $20.
Okay. So correct
trial by
wrong.
Jury, so that you get 12 jurors, not. Not just a jury trial, that could just be a judge acting as the jury, but you'd want to ask for a trial
a common
by jury.
Law jury of,
yeah,
so can I say it like, can I, excuse me one second, can I say it like this? I would like a common law jury of my peers. I
right,
can
yes.
say that?
That's good.
Is that correct?
A yep. constitutional common law jury of my peers, and then they can't mess with it.
Right.
A constitutional law of my
peers. That's what I would do. I mean, I'm just
okay.
saying.
Okay.
All right.
I'm glad I spoke to you about that, you know, because as I said, it's just, it's all new. And as I said, you know, you're taking me by my hand. When in doubt, check it out. And as I said, I'm learning. And I said, I can deal with constructive criticism, and I appreciate it.
But what we're doing as courtroom observers is very beneficial in making the needed changes in the courts, because we're putting fear in the hearts of the judges and the prosecutors. What we're doing with the committees of safety is we are uniting the people in every county so that they know the issues and the committees are carrying out the will of the people, and they're making the needed changes. We're taking back our local governments. We have the options of forcing them to do what we want. And if they don't, we have the ability to recall those officials and replace them with somebody who will do what we want done.
Well, remember a few weeks ago I told you about the veterans, they're taking all the veterans' homes here. So Richard Blumenthal got involved, and it was funny because when I went to court this past Monday, that came up, and what the same just said, is this a MERF, M-E-R-F case, or is this person a veteran? And I think one person was a veteran. He goes, no, throw the case out. If it's a MERF, don't throw it out. Mine is a MERF. I'm not a veteran. Okay? But 3 weeks ago, because I met with those team of veterans, so I guess Richard Blumenthal put a halt on all foreclosures for veterans now. So maybe we could work on him with this illegal foreclosure that's going on also, you know? Because you know what? Him and Trump was out there battling. So I said, well, this is really good, you know? Because which one? Is he going to sit there and be with the people at this point? You know what I'm saying? And he's like the second most powerful.
Wait. I have some what I would call legal advice. I would suggest get in contact with the lawyer, or not the lawyers, but the veterans, and do what they call a joinder, J-O-I-N-D-E-R, a joinder, where you join your case to theirs, and you ask for equal protection under the law. I'm you.
Joinder, okay. Hold on one second. Oh,
that joins your case to theirs, and you're demanding equal protection under the law.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's
see
great.
Where that takes them.
Go, Crystal.
Huh?
Well, anyway, we kind of got away, and this is a Courtroom Observer call, and
this is a part of the court
into cases. But I'm trying to relate things to being a courtroom observer.
Well, I've got a question about that, Robert.
Yes.
Well, what we're talking about, you know, like with Crystal's situation, that's up close and personal. We know what the details are on that. So when we're observing a court case, and we would see, say we were the courtroom observer for Crystal, and if we would see something going on, like what's going on, and we knew of the constitutional violations, couldn't we, as the governed, as the people, file a complaint with the grand jury on behalf of our community member?
Do it.
I mean, could we do that?
Anybody can file a complaint with a grand jury.
Okay.
You got my number.
He'll never get past the prosecutor.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing with the juries, the grand juries of today.
Oh.
It's very difficult to get to the grand jury because they're not a constitutional grand jury.
I gotcha. Right.
So, but as the joinder case,
this is why we're pushing so hard on committees of safety and the courtroom observers is to make, you know, force them to back off and allow us to have our common law grand juries back. We're trying to take that back.
Yeah.
And so everything we do through the courtroom observing and committees of safety is helping us to bring back our true, lawful, legal, constitutional grand juries. And at that time, we have our courts back then.
Okay. Thank you, Robert.
Yep.
Okay. Alrighty, and I think, was that it? I've just...
So.
It's just so much craziness here.
Well, there is. There is.
But I'm just trying to keep myself calm. But it seems like, well, I guess, a lot of them are all jumping ship. Does anybody know anything about this Denard?
Denar?
Yeah.
Well, it's money.
Yeah, and that they said, I guess a lot of it's coming to value or whatever, whoever has it.
Well, they've been trying to revalue it for a long time now.
Is there anything going on with it? Because I don't know. I've been hearing people talking, but I don't know too much about it.
Well, every day there's news come out about it every day, and they're talking. It's, everyone is hoping that it revalues and becomes...
And also,
a lot of people bought it.
I'm sorry?
A lot of people invested in the dinar, and so they're hoping that they made a wise decision and it becomes... There's talk right now of it revaluing, starting out about $1 per dinar or $1.20 per dinar, somewhere in that area. But it could go all the way up to $3 per dinar.
And they were talking about the, Social Security Trust? They said everybody has one? Has anybody heard of that? Or CUSIF? I think it's a CUSIF. Which is also known as the same thing.
Oh, that's what they do with the birth certificate, isn't it? The CUSIF?
Yeah, something they were talking about.
Yeah, I've been reading about that.
Okay. So, as I said, who knows? Everything's just totally wacky right now.
There's so much stuff going on.
But the biggest problem we all have to worry about is that little nut from North Korea. That is, without life, we ain't got nothing else to worry about. It's very frightening what's going on. And he doesn't have much. He has no sense at all. Whatever Daddy told him to do, this fool's following through. It's a very frightening. That young man, so young, having that kind of power.
Yeah.
And then the other ones, his lips, loose lips, things shift. He should not be talking. This is no joke. Both of them think they're bigger than God themselves, and it's just a frightening situation. But the Bible, I guess the Bible is fulfilling.
The world is a dangerous place.
Yeah, yes it is.
You got a couple of egomaniacs.
Yes, exactly. They think we know Satan's in charge of the system, but he got his little demons, his little junior gods, thinking that they're all trying to prove a point. Trump, Putin, and that little nut from North Korea. It's crazy.
I think we've come to the end of our hour.
Well, thank you for your
time.
Okay.
And I thank everybody for their comments.
And thank you for your help and your. I appreciate every Buddy's comment. Thank you for your advice. But you said that name is called the J-O-I-N-D-E-R case, joinder case?
When you file a joinder, it's where you join one case to another.
Okay.
Joinders are most common in, like, let's say you've got a divorce case going on.
Yeah.
And somehow there's a child custody issue, and there's child battery, and maybe the husband gets drunk and beats the wife up. And they take those criminal charges or cases individually, and they join them together in the family court arena as a joinder, to where any one case will help decide the outcome of the other two. Otherwise, they are held as separate cases. And in using a joinder, you're taking the veterans that were kicked off calendar, and you're saying, hey, there's a problem because you're letting these people go. I want the same rights they have. I want equal protection under the law. I am doing a joinder of their case to mine so we can see what the differences are. Am I being treated fairly? And that opens a big can of worms for them.
Well, we all need to open up cans of worms.
Well, the more worms you throw at them, the more they have to swallow and choke down.
Yep.
I mean,
I agree.
One thing that's really made me angry, very angry, if somebody gets murdered, it's usually a 7-year sentence. If somebody robs a bank, it's 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
So, you know, here we have the whole damn legal, professional, criminal system sticking up for bankers and criminals, and life is nothing. Throw it away.
Yeah.
It's upside down. It's backwards. That's not what the common law is about. The common law
and
is
a life for a life, it should be the same time for everybody.
The common law is about it's better to let 10 people go than to take one guilty man or innocent man and hold him in prison. That's the common law.
When we take back, you know, our constitutional republic, and as I say, we can do it through what the MLA is doing in setting up and forming committees of safety and getting everybody involved in being courtroom observers. We need all of our membership to become courtroom observers.
Yeah. And you know, maybe John, was there a call Monday night?
Yes.
Because I couldn't get the replay or nothing. I couldn't even get through. Then they said the number changed. Did the number change?
Well, the number has changed from Monday night.
It changed this week?
Yes, it did.
Last Monday, okay. Night.
Okay. Can I get the number, please?
Yes, you may. Hold on a sec. I'll pull it up for you.
While he's doing that, the man that was talking about the joinder, did you give your phone number last week?
No, ma'am, I did not. This is California Fred.
What?
I go by California Fred as a handle.
Oh, okay.
I did not give my phone number.
Okay,
the new phone number for the Monday night call is 515-604-9386. And the access code is 419-303, and then you hit the pound.
303?
Yep, okay. And then hit the pound. The playback number is 515-604-9876.
9876?
Right.
The same PIN number. Okay. Yeah, because I was like, wait a minute. So thank you very, very much on that. I appreciate it. And thank you for all the information and the support. I truly, truly appreciate all of you. Thank you again. You know, and whatever we can do. But I'm still struggling along, trying to get the people, get this in the school system, you know. And as I said, we're hitting all the states. Everybody got family and friends all over. So.
We can all make a difference.
Yes, indeed.
We can all make a difference. We will get on board with what we're doing here in L.A. Like I say, those two programs.
Okay.
Courtroom observers and the committees of safety. If we all get on that and make it work, we can take back our nation.
And I should I go to the veterans or should I just do it with the court?
Well, California
friend.
He may have had some.
Oh,
good
well,
idea.
What you would need to do is go and find the name of the veterans that he threw out of court. Go to the court clerk and ask for a copy of their case. And then you sit there and you read the minutes, the judge's minutes, and find out why he threw it out. Then you Xerox those pages, and you find out if you qualify for the same thing. And if there's any remote possibility that you could make your case look like theirs, then you demand equal protection under the law.
Yeah, and if you don't qualify, find out why not, Crystal.
That's right,
okay.
Because apparently this is everything you fill out in the way of a loan application is nothing more than qualifying for depositors' insurance so that the federal government will insure the loans. The banks take no risk.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people don't realize that. And by making a signature, you're actually creating a security note.
But see, I never even signed, and that's what I keep on asking. I said, who signed my name on this? I want a sworn notarized affidavit. Who's the injured party?
They robo-signed that stuff and Xerox it, and they don't go down to the county and file like they should, showing a change of, in other words, when they sell the paperwork from one mortgage company to another, they don't go down to the county and file the required documents showing the transfer occurred.
Right. And they didn't do it for 4 years later. And
no, they
guess
called
what?
It a hopper with 1,000 other documents, and they sell them off as a group 7 or 8 or 10 times a day on
uh-huh.
the stock market. None of it's ever recorded. That's called a clouded title. And they cloud your title up with all these paper transfers, and you have no idea who owns your property. And just out of the clear blue sky, some loan shark is out there. He bought up some paper, and now he's trying to collect 10 times what he paid.
Uh-huh.
And he's sending out all these threats, you know?
Yeah, that's...
And it's all of that stuff is against the law. They have... Banking regulations and laws against it.
And you know what else? Another thing, too, to keep an eye on that mobile, that what is it called, mobile signing, there is never a date behind it. And I said, when did I do this? Where's the date? They looked at each other. There's no date. On every legal document you sign, it's your signature and that date. There is no date.
Now, we must get going now.
Okay.
And
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry for bringing up other stuff.
That's okay. I wish there was more I could do, but.
Well, what you brought up was perfect. Because it all ties in for both.
Yeah, well, I need to go on to another meeting now, so I need to
okay.
I need to have Terry go ahead and close us out.
Okay.
Thanks, Robert.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Terry. Oh, I just said thanks, Robert.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. That concludes the Courtroom Observers conference call for August 9, 2017. Hope to see you back here next week, 9 o'clock.